Welcome back to another episode of Strength and Sanity, and where we bring you discussions, insights, and stories from amazing people around the world. I'm your host, Ash Krishna.
And I'm Milan Patel.
And today, we have a very special guest lined up for you.
Yeah, so Dr. Anil Gupta is a family medicine doctor out of St. Louis, Missouri. And so Dr. Anil Gupta really specializes in a lot of bipolar disorders, anxiety disorders, and he's really able to speak to a lot of his experiences that he's had with patient encounters. And so today we're really going to give you guys a glimpse into what it's like while also being able to apply it into your daily life.
So without further ado, let's jump into this episode and let's hear from him.
Hey guys, thanks for joining us here today. So this is going to be our first kind of guest speaker series, and we're grateful to be joined by Dr. Anil Gupta today. So this is going to kick off a series of speakers we're going to have coming through, sort of talking about mental health, nutrition, and the whole lifestyle approach to kind of what this whole podcast has been started for.
Yeah. So Dr. Gupta, tell me about yourself, like why you got inspired into going to family medicine and like, why are you focusing on mental health and nutrition?
I think my primary reason for family medicine is the relationship. You establish a relationship with your patients, and that's very important to me. They're longstanding relationships. I started my practice in 1997, and I still have some patients from then. So that's now going on 7 years plus. So the relationships that are established during this type of practice is most important to me. And obviously, how to take care of these people, making sure that they're healthy, sleep adequately, function well, is also important to me.
Yeah, that's amazing. Because we are like very new, and we understand like how family medicine can like have a really good positive impact into like mental health, and even talk to patients about like how can they improve their nutrition and be open and like talk about themselves to you. They feel like more secure when they see their doctor and explain the situation to them.
Correct. It's important to, in addition to get the relationships, once you get that relationships, like you said, people are much more likely to open up about a wide variety of topics, including nutrition their mental health, topics that they feel very uncomfortable bringing up to strangers.
Okay. Yeah, no, I actually, I guess to all the viewers and listeners out there, I was able to shadow Dr. Gupta actually this summer. And so kind of when I first went into your office too, it's like a different vibe almost. Like the vibe from kind of your stereotypical doctor's office where it can feel kind of closed off, cold. It doesn't have that homey vibe. And then when we went to your office, it was like, you know, it felt like home, like with the couches and the pillows. Is that kind of by design? Was that an intentional choice you made when it came to designing your office too?
So part of it is I work in a variety of environments. One is very clinical, doesn't have that homey vibe that you're talking about. The place that you saw me was in Kirkwood, and that was in a therapist office. So that was open, the couches, and there was not a gurney where the people would sit on top of, didn't have the otoscope for the ear or the ophthalmoscope for the eye, didn't have the stethoscope around my neck. So again, that was definitely much more of a homey vibe, which makes it a lot nicer, a lot easier for people to join, as opposed to, you know, a typical doctor's office. You walk in, there is a white floor, it's usually tile or linoleum, and you have the gurney in the background, and the stethoscope and otoscope the otoscope and the ophthalmoscope and the stethoscope around your neck. Which again makes people less comfortable, more like a clinician. So yes, what you saw, Milan, was definitely much more homey.
Yeah, I feel I feel like most doctors and hospital places, they usually have a welcoming approach. Like the staff that you have, like everyone feels that, you should connect with the like the patients, because you never know who's going to walk into the door, and you want to be like as positive at put in a positive attitude and keep them like comfortable when they come and talk with you and like chat with you about their mental health or just any day-to-day issues. So I feel like you guys aim for like a kind of a feeling safe and like a good environment that people can just come and just talk.
Absolutely. Feeling comfortable and safe is a very, very key ingredient to having people expose their weaknesses.
Do you mind kind of just going more into sort of your background, kind of through undergrad all the way to medical school? If I remember correctly, too, I think your original residency wasn't actually family medicine, and kind of your journey going to family medicine and sort of the types of patients you have come in today.
Sure. So I did undergrad at Washington University in St. Louis, did my medical school at St. Louis University School of Medicine, and then I did emergency medicine residency in Loma Linda, California, Loma Linda University School of Medicine. So after I got done, that was about 1993, I continued to work till 2008 in the emergency rooms. Also, I did family practice while I was doing emergency medicine, and I discovered very quickly that I did not like emergency medicine. You have a very brief period with the patient. You don't get to connect with them as you do in family medicine. And I think I bought my practice in 1997, and that has been open since then to present.
Wow, congrats.
So yeah, thanks.
Yeah, no,
So
that's impressive.
and like I said, I've had patients that are still existing from that original when I bought my practice from 1997. So 27, over a quarter of a century for sure. And
Yeah.
some of them are 27 years old, so yeah.
Oh, wow. So like, what do you think is most rewarding about being like a family doctor? Do you like, is it the connection you have with the patient since the first time you opened the practice, or is it like some unique thing you feel like you have seen over the years?
The biggest, it is those connections that I talked to you about, the relationship, my patients become like family. I was telling you right before we started, the reason I'm using the phone and not the computer right now is because I can't get the computer to work. So one of my patients is here. He's an IT specialist, and he is trying to help fix the problem. So you can see that for good or bad, those connections entangle my life, all encompassing, my IT guy or somebody that I would ask to help fix something at my home. I remember when I first started, the patients would bring in some tomatoes and cucumbers for their copay. And that was a unique way of paying their copay, but that's what they had, and that was very, very endearing to me. I enjoyed that. Plus it tasted very well. So yeah, I think it's a very strong field. You're not gonna be a world breaker as far as making a ton of money, but at the end of the day, you get a very, very good, people are very, you get to be very close to people, which is very important to me.
No, that's awesome. I can only imagine just somebody, coming in, a whole box of tomatoes, and they're like, "Hey, Dr. Gupta, I just wanted to thank you." And you get all these fresh tomatoes. I'm sure you can make a wonderful salad too with all that.
Sure.
And it's just one of those kind of lasting, memorable moments you carry. But I guess that kind of leads us to our next thing, where it comes with all the patients you've seen kind of over the years and stuff. What are some of the most common diagnoses, I guess, you have that you see within your patients? How do you sort of like test for that?
So So most of fanny practice, part of it is I broke it down in my own looking at my electronic health records. There are four key diagnoses that I think are important for family medicine. High blood pressure, high cholesterol, low thyroid, and diabetes. Those are probably the most common diagnoses that I treat. Those four diagnoses. And then there's, osteoarthritis and, other types of pains. But in terms of the chronic illnesses, it's high blood pressure, high cholesterol, low thyroid, and diabetes. And a lot of the medicine that I provide people or take care of people for are those key diagnoses.
So how did you figure out the connection between like mental health and like nutrition?
So I think the relationship between mental health and nutrition is important, although I think that the relationship between sleep and mental health is probably even more important. Now, in as much as nutrition affects your sleep, drinking caffeinated drinks later in the day or at night, I think that is important. Heartburn. If you take spicy food and then you try to become recumbent at night, lying down recumbent, causes people to have heartburn, which causes people to not be able to sleep comfortably. So there have been many, many studies that show that adequate sleep and mental illness are connected. Nutrition is definitely in there. It's peripheral compared to the sleep connection.
Okay, yeah, no, that makes total sense, because I know at least for college students too, especially me and Ash, we love our spicy food. I know certainly I'm guilty of putting red chili flakes on almost every single thing I eat quite frequently, and especially like with college and exams and this activity, it's sleep is it comes at a premium almost.
Yeah, same. Like, we went to a farmer's market recently, and first thing was we saw some like spicy sauce.
Three hot
And
sauce bottles we got from this farmer's market.
to be honest, I don't think we even opened one, because we're
No,
just like,
we opened a couple.
we oh yeah right we opened one and we just tasted like one drop of it, and I think we were like, maybe we'll save it for later.
It was like a ghost pepper kind of recipe. Have you had like ghost peppers, or pretty hot like Reaper peppers? Like it was like that much, and it was, I mean, it'll light your mouth on fire.
But yeah, I've noticed that once I have something spicy food and go to sleep, I have a poor sleep, which does affect my next day's mental health or just my day-to-day like activities, I guess.
Right. I mean, as far as, just to do better on your test, I would force myself to get to sleep 8 hours. Even if I wouldn't have finished all of my prep, I would rather sleep than try. 8 hours seems to be a magic number. It's all over the literature again. It is important to get that 8 hours of sleep, as much of it as you can without getting up over and over again. As you get older, like I am, I probably get up about two times at night, to evacuate. That is interruption of that good sleep that you want. And you want the REM sleep. The REM sleep is rapid eye movement. So we can actually see sleep is categorized in non-REM and REM. And the more REM sleep that you can with the rapid eye movement, that's a deeper sleep. That's the better, more rejuvenating type of sleep. So in the example that I gave you with the spicy food, the heartburn does not allow you to fall asleep initially. And then after you fall asleep, you may have a reflux or some of the fluid in the gastrum comes back up into the esophagus. The gastrum is the stomach. The esophagus connects the mouth to the stomach. You may have some of that come back, or you may feel like an acid taste to the back of your mouth in the middle of your sleep, and you'd have to get up to try to alleviate that because you want to push the acid back down. And again, that prevents the deep sleep that you want.
I totally get that. Sometimes I sleep late and I'm eating late food. Like, I feel this all symptoms, just I can feel it the next
Yeah.
day. Or it's just I wake up in the middle of the night and I just can't sleep. So I just have to like maybe do some work and then try to go back to sleep. But for the listeners out there, like how do you like incorporate like the mindfulness and like, you know, the eating habits, and how they can improve for the next time when they see this?
Routine seems to be very important. Eat your breakfast at a certain time, lunch, yes or no, or small little apple or something, and then a reasonable dinner at the same time. No food after, say, 8 o'clock, so that you can get into sleep by 10 or 11, and then get back up at 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning, getting your 8 hours of sleep. So the routine seems to be very, very important. Routine not only in the times, also the routine in the types of food that you may want to eat. The weekends are where you can experiment, but during the week, you should try to keep the same routine going. And that seems to be, for me at least, very beneficial, and for some of my patients, I think it's important.
No, yeah, and it especially now I'm not the greatest cook in the world. I certainly don't claim to be I don't even claim I can cook, but certainly something that's helped me a lot is in the mornings before. Well, I guess first of all, the past couple of years I haven't even been eating breakfast per se before class. My breakfast would be a coffee, but nowadays I've transitioned to more. I'll have like yogurt, granola, maybe wash some berries over
Some
that.
like parfait and stuff. Yeah.
Kind of just make that at home. It'll be like Greek, like non-fat, low-fat yogurt, granola with raisins, maybe honey, put a scoop of Nutella in there. And it seems to be working too, at least for me. Like I felt a lot more energetic. I know certainly working out in the morning has helped. Are kind of all these lifestyle things sort of, do you recommend these to your patients too as well when they come with, let's say, high cholesterol, certainly, thyroid issues? Are these kind of all, I guess when you evaluate a patient per se, is it you start with lifestyle changes or do you immediately go to like kind of medicine or other
No, it's
factors?
yeah. I mean, I think it's a combination, but usually when we find people with high cholesterol, then you tell them to, cut out some of the fatty meats, try to use fish and chicken. Berries, like you're talking about, are good. You want to go into the four major, food groups, grains, vegetables, fruits, and milk is a universal food. Has almost everything, a lot of the vitamins that you need. Bread is the fourth, grains and so on and so forth. So, yes, we talk about lifestyle. Lifestyle is still critical. Exercise is good. If you're expending energy, it's easier again to, again, I still think, I always go back to asking them, how are you sleeping at night? And if they can tell me that they're getting a good night's rest, then I feel comfortable. Studies again show that if you do sleep pretty well, you're less apt to make careless errors. And that can be very, very important, especially when you're having a big test.
Yeah, I
But
mean,
yeah.
have you like found any like recent articles that interested you about like, you know, talk about like the mental health and like sleep or how they have a
Oh, well,
connection?
yeah, there's it's littered. I mean, it's all over, especially people that have mental health issues, bipolar specifically, or depression even, but bipolar especially. If they don't get enough sleep, they're much more apt to go into the manic phase or the crazy phase where they're wanting to do a lot, becoming suddenly hyper active, etc. Yeah, when that's why I connected the two, because you asked about mental health and nutrition. Nutrition obviously is important in as much as it affects your ability to get that sleep. That's my take on it. I mean, obviously, nutrition in and of itself is important, but then I think it's the connection between sleep and mental health is even a greater. So
I feel like most people who have a bad day or, just have a rough day, they usually have a go-to comfort food or some like some. For me, I usually go to ice cream or just, Ben and Jerry's. But how about you, Doctor? What do you think? What's your comfort food?
Well, it used to be pecan pies. Now I'm on a different diet and I don't even touch that. Yes, there are comfort foods. Unfortunately, they don't produce the comfort that you think of because you regret it subsequently, especially chocolate, and those kind of sweet that we tend to use create diabetes. You get all sorts of pathology with those comfort foods. So, yes, a little bit if you want to try to get through, but try to stay away from the comfort foods, especially. I remember one night Walmart had a sale of pecan pies,
Oh no.
and I decided, hell, let's go ahead and get six or eight. And within 2 days they were gone. So it's hard. So if you can't resist it, stay away from it.
I have the same feeling when I go to the
Yeah.
Walmart. I
Yeah.
see, or like any like shopping mart, like I see the cake section and I'm like, wow, I
Why?
want to just pick up a cake and just go home. But my mom just like, nope, you can't do it. Just stay away from that.
So like in my house currently, I have no sweets. I live alone, so I can control my environment that way. So that's my weakness.
Yeah, no, that yeah, it's really tough, especially, I mean, sometimes with school and everything going on, it's just, just having that little bit of sweetness, and it goes a long way too. But I guess kind of leading to our next part, are there any like kind of tips, lasting advice you would give to college students and all the listeners kind of out there about what would be, I guess you mentioned it earlier with sleep, but is there one major thing you would focus on if you wanted to improve multiple ways as far as mental health and overall well-being?
Well, I think especially, both my children are in college, and so are you and your brother who is going to be in college soon. There are a lot of time pressures that come with that. And so then it's easy to go to the fast food restaurant and get yourself some tacos or hamburgers and swallow it down, and then you're good. Not taking any account for the amount of calories, the amount of fat, or any of that kind of stuff. Right then, you're just wanting to get through it, study, and get on to the next project. So what I believe, and like you just did recently, buy a whole bunch of meals that you can quickly prepare, and have them in the fridge or the freezer, and have them ready to go, knowing that's what you're going to utilize in case of emergency. So, you want something that can be prepared in 2 to 3 minutes. There it is. It's in the fridge. You can get it. And you don't have to go out. You can even save the time to going to the local fast food joint and waiting in line. And that food is there, ready to go. Those are very important. They should be, pre-thought out. Quick salad, a quick, even pita, even if it's like a pizza, as long as it's like one with some vegetables. Would be easy to prepare, especially if you have the vegetables in a bag. You stick it in the microwave, it's ready to go. And those are the kind of things that I think are very important, that when there is a time crunch, you have to be ready to meet the challenge without breaking the diet.
Yeah, that's a really good plan. Yeah, I mean, For me, I've been trying to work and some like I try to have a meal prepared. Like I use some type of service so that I every week I get like a certain food and I try to prepare it. It only takes me 2 minutes, and I try to eat at least 2 meals a day. In the morning, I try to get some cereals, and I try to maintain that. While me and Melon, we used to go to work out every like morning, and we try to keep that routine. Sometimes see there's classes, exams that comes in way, but we try to maintain that routine. If once we break that routine, it's hard to come back to it.
Exactly. That's why I think routine is key for me. Once you stay in the routine, it doesn't feel bad. Once you get off the routine, then it's hard to get back on it. So routine is good. And I think, having quick meal prep is really good. One of my ideas before they came up with, all of these mail order foods was to prepare food, on the weekend, put them in bag, put them in the freezer, take them out as needed, and then warm it up in the microwave, which now you can do. You can buy it actually. It's available. And then if you want to go really, they have Hello Fresh where you can actually go out and get those meals ingredients sent to you, then be ready to prepare. Most of those are vacuum sealed. They don't even have to be in the fridge, so it's kind of nice.
Yeah, no, nowadays there's so many different options too when it comes to trying to eat healthy, sticking to a routine. I think a lot of companies too, like I've seen Factor too. I think Ash, you use Factor. Factor is a common one I've seen. HelloFresh, all these meal prep services. I mean, it can help towards a routine, and I'm sure it helps some people too, when especially me. I mean, I'm probably the worst cook. Maybe not the worst cook out there, but I can get
Debatable.
by. I can get by. I can make cereal and milk. Turkey sandwiches. It's got to count for something.
Sure, no, exactly. And as long as you are controlling the ingredients, turkey sandwiches, like you said, as opposed to, hamburger. And then when we go to the fast food, they're probably getting the cheapest quality hamburger as opposed to somewhat halfway decent. So those are the kind of things that can help regenerate your cells, and so you can do better.
Wow, what a conversation we had with Dr. Anil Gupta, didn't we?
Yeah, no, that was great. There's certainly a lot of principles and ideals to take away, regardless of who you are.
I just want to say a huge thank you to Dr. Anil Gupta for sharing his expertise, his knowledge on mental health and nutrition, which I think I learned, we learned, and I think that hopefully you guys learned too.
Exactly. So feel free, take this interview, share it with friends, family, all who you may feel may benefit from this interview. And while you're at it, be sure to use our comfort link down below in the description of this video. Either if you're listening on Spotify, go to our Instagram bios for the link directly to the comfort shop. Or if you're on YouTube, be sure to check that description down below for 15% off your next purchase.
I know mental health is a challenge, but if you're feeling inspired after watching this video, I hope to be in the same journey as with you. As we learn mental health, we wanted you guys to learn mental health. And until next time, peace.